All right, guys, well, go.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right. Movie the Podcast.
Movie the Podcast.
It is Boxing Days.
Yeah.
D-A-Z-E.
D-A-Z. And we watched ourselves.
An excellent Great White selection. Hype.
Yeah, so well, possibly. There might be some dissent in the room, so.
Oh, no.
Brace yourself for that. But we watched, I would say, I don't even know whose movie this is. Is it Samuel Jackson? Is it Peter Berg? Is it Damian Wayans? The movie's got everybody.
Written by Ron Shelton of Bull Durham and other sports movie fame.
And directed,
question mark?
Directed by, what's his name?
Reginald Hudlin,
who wrote like some really good Black Panther comics in the early 2000s.
And he was like the president of BET for a minute.
Yeah. I was not familiar. Like, I didn't know he made movies, but apparently he's very prolific. Like, he made, didn't you say he's like he's done a bunch of like all kinds of stuff, right? Like, he did like,
yeah, he produced the Boondocks for the first like season or so, but then they made an episode making fun of BET and he quit.
That show was great. Anyway, yeah, The Great White Hype. We watched it and it's all about boxing.
I saw this in the theater.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Wow. Damn. Remember movie theaters, everybody.
Remember movies.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm interested to talk about this. It's fun to. What was the year on this one?
96.
Yeah,
96.
Prime like 90s movie, like
very 90s.
I feel like
very. Maybe you know this will come up later or whatever. But you know how I just like ruined the whole format. Like, I don't know if you don't know anything about boxing, if this movie works quite as well, but like, if you're at all familiar with like the behind the scenes of boxing or MMA, I guess to a point, like, yeah, I think it works really well.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to develop my knowledge of those sports. Cause I do know a lot about them. I feel like it would work. Maybe not.
I don't know a ton about them and I loved it. So,
yeah. So
this guy directed one of our favorite SNL movies, The Ladies Man.
Hell, he directed The Ladies Man. Hell yeah. I love
Chlamydia is a soup. That is my opinion. I can have it if I want to.
And he directed Boomerang, House Party.
Oh, Boomerang fucking rules. So does House Party, the first one.
Yeah, the first one, not the other one.
Hood classic.
Both not the compromised second film.
Marshall.
Are Marshall?
No, the Thurgood Marshall, the one we reviewed.
Ah.
Oh, he directed good too. It was okay. I remember liking it. I remember
that is the Thurgood Marshall / Zack Snyder's Justice League episode.
Yeah. What a twofer. So what a career for this guy.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for a while.
Yeah. I thought he had passed away, but I was thinking of Dwayne McDuffie because I think they were all tangentially involved with Milestone for a while.
Yeah, Dwayne McDuffie was like a founder of Milestone, right? I guess he probably was too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oof, that DC.
What a great line.
Are they the ones who made a Static X and all that stuff?
Yeah. And Hardware and Icon, I think, was the Superman analog.
Yeah, go back and read some of that stuff. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
there's a TikTok guy that I follow who just goes around and like asks people trivia at Comic Cons.
Is it name black people that don't have electrical powers? Is it that guy?
Five black superheroes without electric powers.
Everybody's like, yeah, I got it. And they get like three and then they fall completely off.
Yeah. I could do it. I could do it. Easy.
Oh yeah.
It's easy. Anyway, what did y'all watch this week? I'm gonna start with my main man, Goggs.
Yo. Oh,
Goggs never goes first.
Oh.
There's a reason for that.
We'll ask Liz about it.
Oh
God, I watched two things. Actually, I watched more. I'm just gonna talk about two.
Basically two things.
Why do you keep talking like that?
Can't help. I watched holiday favorite in the Petrella house Jingle All the Way.
Oh, yeah.
Good one.
A movie where I still can't believe for the purposes of a parade, they made a completely functional super suit. Like, it's batshit insane. A movie that, you know, I think we we kind of talk about every year now because of the season, but like, man, like talk about a movie that I shit on when I was younger. And I've just come to have just a tremendous appreciation for as an older man.
It's like the fucking Ford Taurus. It sucked when everybody had one when you were a kid, but now looking back, it's like, damn, that was a finely engineered vehicle. Like it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Nothing fancy.
No.
Dingle all the way has 400,000 miles on it with zero oil changes.
What a like, wonderful analogy that was.
And I got wrong. Like,
somebody fart?
Nah, it blew my nose. Oh. I'm sick.
But I got sorry, buddy. Like I was showing my kids the movie, and like, and they're like, and I got to finally kind of explain to them. I was like, this is a slapstick comedy, and like, what does that mean? I was like, see how many people are just getting hurt. That is exactly the point. Like, it's just. It's dumb. It's fun. Arnold's great in it. He's not taking himself seriously. Phil Hartman. Oh, here's another nice moment for it. Halfway through the movie, Vance looks at me, goes, he goes, that's Troy McClure. And I was like, you're right, buddy. Aww,
you might know him from.
And then he kept doing that. He's like, you might know me from. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that rocks. I love that.
Yeah. It's going to be weird in 20 years when they've privatized the post office. That movie's not going to make any fucking sense.
No, but for right now, pretty great. So watch that. Love it. And then I was texting Sean, and I watched the second.
I'm sorry.
It's true. I watched the second movie I watched was purely based on vibes, and I watched what I thought had a similar kind of feel and tone to The Great White Hype. I put on Death to Smoochie.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Underrated.
Absolutely. That movie is so goddamn good. Right? Ed Norton's not insufferable in it. It's a goddamn ball. And it's like, it's a really good Robin Williams movie because it's Robin Williams being like, he's not, he's like, he's fucking just like being.
That's my
fucking
favorite Robin Williams.
That's also
what does this guy do? He flies around, he's got a sword, he kills the bad guys. That's a Evangelion 1 hour photo joke. I'm sorry.
But it's you know,
Dogs, did you know that who plays the boxer in that? I can't remember. Is it anybody?
Oh, it's Jackie Aprile from The Sopranos.
It was supposed to be Henry Rollins.
You know what? This was a better casting. Casting. Spinner is a
Your stepdad's not mean. He's just adjusting. Has been stuck in my head for 20 years.
It is. It's so good. And what's her name? Catherine Keener. Prime Catherine Keener.
The hottest Catherine Keener, possibly.
Arguably the hottest Catherine Keener. Yeah. And like DeVito, right? He directed it. I don't know if he wrote it. But man,
is that movie Drowning Mona around the same time? Which is another dark banger.
Oh, I like
that movie. Fucking rules.
But he did write it. He wrote it.
Okay.
He also
produced How High.
Banger.
I'm
sorry. Oh, he didn't write it. I clicked on the writer thing, but it kept the director thing up too on IMDb.
Shout out to Buggy Ding Dong.
Shout out. It's gonna be a fucking Buggy Ding Dong. God. Yeah, that movie's like. It's another movie, like much like The Great White Hype. It's one of those movies I haven't seen in a very long time, and I forgot like just how much I just enjoy it. Like it's silly, it's also low stakes, and it's just, but it's like, I don't know. It's got like enough intrigue, like.
Well, it's like John Wick, where is this heightened world of like fucking TV show assassins or some shit,
right?
Like fucking Ed Norton gets mobbed up in the movie in the most like cute way possible. Like, and it's just him. His character never gets compromised. He's like a good person throughout. Like, there's no, I don't know.
I think it was a movie that
charming.
Like, I think it would have found an audience with like A24 kids now, but I don't know if anybody knew what to make of it then.
It was and such a just, weird.
It's a very off-putting movie.
Then.
Yeah.
Like the idea behind it is strange. Also,
does that track anymore, that Barney reference? Like, is there shit like that now?
No, I don't really think so. Well, I don't know.
No.
I
mean,
everything now is like CGI. There's no, I mean, I guess Sesame Street's still around, but like,
I don't know. Are the old gods humongous?
Like, kids shows don't exist in that same way, right? Like, they don't, network TV is basically dead, right? So like that whole conceit is sort of
past dead prime. Enough.
Mm. Yeah, right. No, they're still making FBI.
FBI right. is a new one. There's a new one called Tracker.
Tracker.
Is it about the Geo SUV? Oh.
Yeah, and then a spinoff, Metro.
What's the one from I Love You Man? Like Blind Justice or like
Blind Justice. There's the Pet Mentalist.
The Pet Mentalist.
Pet Mentalist.
He resets minds to solve crime.
I don't play music. It's just a bunch of discordant notes.
Notes, yeah. Didn't he say it's just tones? It's just tones.
No, Dracula musical. That movie fucking rules too.
By the way, that Dracula musical. I really wish I could see the whole thing.
Yeah, because they took it on the road, didn't they? Or they at least showed it somewhere.
Oh, did they really?
That song from it that he sings is just the fucking best.
Yeah.
Oh, but anywho. Lovely, lovely, lovely movie. Enjoyed every bit of it. But that's everything. That's everything I watched. Sean. Yeah.
Oh my god. I tried to watch Megalopolis again, but I pivoted to anime, and I watched the first 7 episodes of Dan to Dan to Dan.
Oh
Love that show. TJ's talked about.
It's so good.
So it has this thing, right? Like it's a really fun and interesting, like very kinetic anime. It's like silly. I think TJ went over the plot, so I'm not going to go through it. But I don't know if this episode had come out by the time he talked about it on the show. It's like every really great animated series has to have their fucking Jurassic Bark episode. If that tracks, everybody gets that reference, right?
The dog.
Yeah. And I should have known because it goes from like the regular, because the animation is very like I don't remember what the studio is, but it's very like Studio Madhouse.
It's like. I was gonna say it's MAPPA, but maybe it's not. It doesn't matter anyway.
But it's got that like over exaggerated, like sometimes they just have like the big eye and square domo mouth. You know, it's just silly. But then there's one episode where it turns into like prestige animation at the very beginning of the episode. I'm like, I should have seen this coming. And it's like this really poignant and sad story about like parenthood. And like I feel like Chainsaw Man has an episode like this. I can't remember which one it is. But this episode like fucking ruined me. It was like I texted TJ like I'm not emotionally prepared for all this.
I wanted to call my mom after that episode.
Yeah, it's like the I think it's more so affecting, but it's like remember it? Is that the X-Men 97 episode?
Which is that one
episode out of nowhere that just like fucking ruins you.
That episode rules and is also awful.
Yeah. But it's so like it's so hard. And then it, like, I didn't get into the following episode, but it, like, they have to kind of pivot back to what was going on in the show before. And like, I don't know if it still kind of hangs there or not, but the show's really, really good. I love it.
I'm glad you like it. I'm a huge super strong fan.
Recommend.
It's a lot of fun and it's on Netflix for everybody. It's one of those weird shows that's both on Crunchyroll and Netflix. It makes me question why I even have a Crunchyroll account. Cause all the big stuff ends up on Netflix anyway. It's really good.
Yeah. Everything should be animated. And pursuant to last week's episode, I bought the One Piece Dynasty Warriors game and I've been playing that. That's fine. If you like those games, it's like $10
I love those games. Yeah.
So that shows like I want to like know everything about the show, but I want to commit zero time to it at the same time. So Alec.
Oh man. Get ready, boys. I watched 7 things.
Oh my god.
Okay. So 3 non-Christmas movies and 4 Christmas movies.
Oh my god.
Well, I guess one. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. Throw Mama from the Train, speaking of Danny DeVito directed movies.
Yeah.
That movie fucking rules. It's so fucking weird. Oh god, that voice just fucking like she made a career of being the most grating voice of all time.
What is the fake uncle's name?
Oh,
I can't remember. It's Uncle. I forget what it is. Uncle Gary. You don't have an Uncle Gary. You lied to me.
Oh yeah.
Well, that movie rules. Billy Crystal is really funny. Danny DeVito is so fucking good in that.
Yeah.
It's so weird. He's a fucking weird odd guy.
Yeah.
He is. But man, that movie does rule.
Also weird that it's a setup from like a Hitchcock movie. Like that's where the whole plot stems from.
They reference it in the he goes and sees the movie and he thinks that was Billy Crystal's head that he wants him to kill his wife because he said, go see the movie. It'll help your creative writing. So he flies to Hawaii and murders Billy Crystal's wife, who is Kate Mulgrew from Voyager.
Oh, is that right?
Star Trek.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I think it's Voyager. I never watched it.
What? Who is it?
Kate Mulgrew.
Yeah, that's Janeway. Yeah, from Voyager.
Captain Janeway.
Watched the duology of Grumpy Old Men and Grumpier Old Men.
Oh my God.
Those are both still fun movies.
And Margaret? Question mark?
Yeah, and Margaret. Okay. The first one was Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau. And then the first one is Anne Margaret. And the second one, Sophia Loren.
Ooh. Bangers, both of them.
Yeah. But those movies are fun. Like, cranky old people that hate each other but secretly love each other. Like, in a perfect movie. Those two would have just ended up together.
Instead, they both ended up
with their female counterparts. But they're all happy at the end, so that's all that matters. But those movies are both, like, they're both fun and they're nostalgic. Now for the Christmas movies. Watched A Christmas Carol, which I've watched the past couple of years.
I was going to say, you brought that up last year. I remember that.
The movie's, it's hilarious. It's very, very funny. It's a very authentic, like, retelling of A Christmas Carol. Authentic isn't the word, but...
Faithful?
Faithful, yeah. Faithful through the eyes of a comedy where instead of Ebenezer Scrooge, it's like what you would imagine like the worst Karen is, like asking for people's manager, ruining their days, like sending food back and drinks back, shit like that. It's really funny. And the best part is there's the girl next door who is dying, who's like the Tiny Tim thing. She had leukemia. And after she has her change of heart or whatever, the girl said she wanted a skateboard. She buys a skateboard from a neighborhood kid, gives it to the girl, and then when the girl flips it over and they show it, it's just this like female anime character of these fucking kids. Oh, it's so funny. All movies are really funny.
I can't hear Tiny Tim without thinking of the fucking Muppets Christmas Carol every single time.
Oh yeah, who didn't die? I'll probably talk about that by next week because that movie fucking rocks. Watched a movie called Hot Frosty.
Oh, you watched that? I saw that all over the internet.
Oh yeah,
it's what's his name from Schitt's Creek, right?
Yeah, from Schitt's Creek. Lacey Chabert is the female lead. It's got Craig Robinson in it. Joe Latrulio's in it. Basically, it's Frosty the Snowman comes to life with a magic scarf, but he's like hot. He's like ripped and jacked and handsome, and Lacey Chabert takes him under his wing. Craig Robinson plays the sheriff of the town who, when he first came to life, he was naked, so people thought he was a streaker. So Craig Robinson's trying to like catch him and take him down the whole time. It's fine. It's not the best thing I've ever seen, but it was perfectly cromulent. There's a new movie on Hulu we watched called Nutcrackers, and that was okay. It's Ben Stiller.
Oh, I've seen that on the what's it called?
It's okay. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's kind of meh. Like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. Right. He's the uncle. His sister and her husband die in a car crash, and he is responsible for these four kids now. They're four kids, and at first he's just trying to help them get adopted, but then he starts to love them and care about them and yada yada yada. Sure. Like, it's fine. He's in it. Linda Cardellini's in it.
I love her.
Those are really the only two actors of note that I can think of. I can't think of anybody else famous that was in it. The kids are all pretty good actors, and they're four brothers. They're like legit four brothers in real life.
Four brothers.
Four Brothers.
It's called Four Brothers.
The last thing I watched was a new movie on Paramount, maybe, called Dear Santa with Jack Black.
Oh, I just saw that on the torrent sites. Yeah.
It is. Is any good? I thought it was really funny.
Oh, okay.
So, Jack Black, it was written by one of the Farrelly brothers and directed by the other one. I can't remember which one's which. But basically, this kid with dyslexia is writing a letter to Santa to help his parents fall back in love.
Sean has his hand raised. Wow. I just noticed.
I didn't know if it came through because I was having problems with the phone, but somebody said Linda Cardellini, and I just wanted to note that I said smashed.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, of course.
So he writes the letter to Santa asking for his parents to fall back in love because their relationship is strained because the other brother they had died, or his brother died. But instead, he wrote it to Satan. So Jack Black plays Satan, who comes and like starts granting this kid wishes and like.
I don't hate the premise.
It's really funny. I thought it was really funny.
The Farrelly brothers are super underrated. You guys saw Outside Providence, right? That movie.
They always bring that movie up. Yeah, that movie's so good.
That movie's very good. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think
we're the only people that remember Outside Providence. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
It's stuck on you. Is great also.
Oh, I thought you meant Outside Providence is stuck on me. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Stuck on You is great.
Love Stuck on You.
Me, myself, and Irene.
Big fan.
Love that movie.
You got to go to Duke with them sling blade motherfuckers.
That's all I watched. The only other thing I started watching and I'm in love with, there's all the, I'm sure TJ's seen them, the Gaudier TikToks.
No.
I don't think so. It's like people, like most of it's like families at Thanksgiving, and they're playing what's the song?
Used to know somebody that used to know.
Yes,
that's
all. But yeah. Like, and they keep cutting the scenes of the family, and people in the background are all frozen, and then one person is doing weird dances at the front, and it keeps cutting like every couple of seconds. Some of them are really fucking funny. I'll send you a few.
Yeah, you got to send me a few
so you can get the algorithm. Like some of them are really funny. Like I was dying laughing at some of them.
TikTok's funny. Like, it only takes like two videos, and then it's like that's all you'll see for a week. You know?
Yeah. I think they're funny. I mean, obviously some of them are better than others because it's all user content, but the good ones that are really funny. One of them was like a family. The grandmother was like in the hospital. She's like in her hospital bed, and they're all dancing around her.
That reminds me of that. It was pre-TikTok. It was Vine. And it was that like really like stereotypical Zoomer looking kid. And he's like, don't give up. And it's like the grandfather's like dying on the hospital bed. It's funny as hell. All time banger classic. That one.
That's all I watched. Soon I'll be watching The Australian Office.
Yes. Let me know how that works out.
TJ, right?
They should call it the Oz Fist.
Yeah, they should have.
We'll keep working on it.
The Oz Fist.
They could call it the Aw Yeah Nah Fist.
If it was from New Zealand, they could have called it the Awk Fist.
Now, see, that was good. That was good. I watched one movie and I finished watching one TV show, which I can't recommend enough. I'll start with the TV show. So I finished watching all of Arcane. Last week I finished watching season one. This week I finished watching season two. Season two is way better than season one, and I love season one, but season two is a banger. And like I really liked it because it's basically about like a tyrannical like upper class, and then that holds the under people in a apartheid state.
So it's a documentary.
And they uprise, and it's really, really good. And I will say, like, one thing that I was kind of shocked by was that the characters, like, they do a really good job at, like, making the characters, like, really well-rounded and nuanced. Like, I was a little worried. The main character of the show is Jinx, and you've probably seen her. She's like kind of the mascot of the show. If you've seen nothing of the show, just promo stuff, you probably see
Chinese lady from G.I. Joe.
No, there was a Chinese lady named Jinx in G.I. Joe.
Yeah, she was a ninja, but she was Chinese.
Of course she was a fucking ninja. She's got like blue hair, and she's got kind of like a Harley Quinn kind of vibe. And I was a little worried about that character, especially in the beginning of the show when she shows up. I thought that was going to be her character, but they do like this amazing job of the show, how she's kind of molded from like trauma, and she develops. Like she has like a, between the first and second season, like by the end of the second season, she has like a legitimate arc, and she feels like a real character. And like so many of the characters are like multifaceted, like there's nobody that's just like pure evil, like cardboard cutout. Like even like the beginning of the, I won't give too much away, but there's like this guy that's clearly like a villain, but even he is like sympathized and he's more well-rounded. And it's like, I don't know, I was really impressed by the show, and the fucking animation is amazing. The action sequences that they do, and they do that thing that I like with animation where they'll like change up the animation style, like to like kind of complement the mood. Like there's this part in the second season where they're basically doing like a memory flashback, and the whole animation style changes to this like watercolor look. It's a very impressive show. I can't recommend it enough. Don't let the stink of League of Legends like get on you about this, because the show is brilliant. Like it's,
I can't really wait for the World of Tanks prestige anime.
Dude, it's so good. Like, honestly, I would be shocked if, like, everybody didn't love it, because it's really fucking well done. Like, really, really well done. So you watch Arcane on Netflix. It's worth the hype. I loved it. Like I said, I tore through the two seasons like it was nothing. The movie I watched was called All My Friends Hate Me. It's a British movie.
Correct.
And I fucking loved it. It's funny. I liked it. This is the rare thing where I finished the movie and I really liked it. But then the more I thought about it today, I realized like, oh, I love this movie. Like it's super well done, and it's very like subtle in like what it's actually trying to say. And it's funny because I read a lot of people talking about the movie and they like wholly missed the point of the movie. At least I think they did. But the movie is about basically these old college friends that get back together. They've been apart for quite some time, but they get together at this guy's dad's house, and he lives in this big like palatial mansion. And the main character is this kind of nebbishy guy that's like constantly like he's kind of just like a nervous guy that's kind of worried, like the title implies, that people don't like him. But he's very like, I don't want to give too much away, but he's very like self-centered, and the whole movie is kind of about like, it kind of feels like he's being gaslit because he feels like there's this conspiracy against him the whole time. And I don't want to give anything away because I think the ending is fucking brilliant. But like, by the time it's over, you like recontextualize everything you watched and you're like, oh, that's fucking brilliant. Like I loved it. And it's like funny too. It's categorized as a dark comedy. I absolutely loved it. It's on the Plex for you guys, but for everybody at home, it's on Hulu. It's really good. I'd give it an 8 out of 10. I thought it was brilliant. And best part about it, it's an hour and a half long. That's the reason I watched it last night. I was going through my Plex and I was like, what's an hour and a half long? Because I wanted to watch A Different Man, which is a movie I have to watch before the end of the year, but it's like 2:15. I was like, nope. It's called All My Friends Hate Me. But I loved it. And it was recommended by a YouTube channel that I know Sean likes. It's called In Frame Out. And yeah. They recommended it as one of their, like, I don't know why it got put in the horror category, because it's certainly not a horror movie, but they put it in like a list of like horror movies that you probably haven't seen. And I hadn't seen it. And I put pretty much every movie that they put on that list that I hadn't seen on the Plex. So
does that list have the Australian prom movie? Because I feel like that's on every horror movie you need to see before you die list.
Oh, you're talking about The Loved Ones?
Yeah.
No, but I want to say that the reason I watched it is they brought it up on another list. But I love that fucking movie.
Yeah, it's really good.
Me and Chris did an episode on that movie back when we did that other show. I that movie is fucking great. Don't ever watch that director's follow up movie though, The Devil's Candy. That movie sucks ass.
I watched that movie. That movie sucks.
It's but his first daddies. His first movie though, Gogs, watch The Loved Ones. It's on the Plex. It's fucking awesome. It's like a, it's kind of like a play on like a Texas Chainsaw kind of movie, but it's also like a weird high school like romance movie. It's very, very good. I loved it. But yeah, that's all I watched. Like I said, both really good. I'd highly recommend both of them. I really like to talk more in depth about All My Friends Hate Me, but it would kind of spoil the movie. So watch it. Talk to me afterwards. So,
oh, I forgot. I got one. There was one other movie I watched that I would like to talk about if we have the time.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, sure. All the time in the world. Who cares?
Yeah, tremendous. I was texting TJ about this.
Texted me the carrot. I'm sorry.
I texted everybody.
We're so racist back then. Of course she's
a ninja / intelligence least subtle ninja costume ever.
Ninja. Yikes. Yeah, nothing says you're trying to sneak in somewhere than wearing a giant red outfit.
Oh boy.
You see anybody see a Chinese bitch dressed like Santa Claus come through here?
So anywho, I watched one other thing. It's Asriel. Asriel.
Oh yeah, we talked about this a little bit.
Yeah, Nightcrawler's dad.
That's the same joke that I think you made the last time I brought this.
No, Batman. Azazel.
Oh yeah.
Shout out to Jean-Paul Valley. Gone too soon.
But yeah, so it's I was texting TJ about this, and I don't know. Forgive me, TJ, if you watched it and you talked about it on the show.
I talked about it either last week or the week before.
Oh, was it that early? Was that recent? Okay, so yeah.
But I don't think it was an episode you were on.
Oh, okay. And I don't. If I'm not on it, I don't listen. Yeah, so
it's a movie about Gargamel's cat.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So right, the whole movie is about Gargamel's cat and the Smurfs. The whole thing about like this whole movie, no one speaks, and it's just nuts, and like about this cult. And I'm sure, well, if TJ talked about them, we're rehashing everything, but like, it was wild. And it was like,
I don't remember it at all.
So this, like the plot is that you're introduced to these people in the woods and all of a sudden, you know, they're just kind of communicating through just like gestures and whistles and whatever. No one's speaking. And then you're treated with the opening crawl is like post the rapture. People have given up the sin of speaking. So the whole or parts of the society have like either chosen or have like been forced to go mute, like they've been had their larynxes removed. And
I wish parts of society could go through that now.
Amen. These two people are like living in the woods, and then they get like all of a sudden they get captured by this other group of people who are also not talking. And then, like, the one woman's going to get, like, sacrificed to this demon in the woods. And it's all about this, like, weird, like, demonic worship, like, quiet. It's quiet in the sense that it's, you know, no one's talking. But it's like those apocalypse movies we like that it's, like, they don't really explain a lot. And it's very small.
You're dropped in media res. And since no one can talk, you don't really get, like, there's no exposition in the movie because no one can speak.
Right, everything's got to be sort of taken by context, and it's like I don't know.
Stars Samara Weaving, however you say her name, who
I'm the really babysitter.
Like she's really good. I every time I see her, I'm like she's very good because I really like that. Did you ever see Ready or Not? I thought that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that movie
I
did not. Blast.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Not the Fugees song, but the movie.
Also, that song banger. Rocks though. It's a good song.
That song is a fucking banger. Most Fugees songs are bangers.
Most Fugees songs, pretty good. But yeah, this movie was wild, and it was like I was texting TJ about it. Like I ended up like reading some stuff about it afterwards. And if you guys, I don't know if you get it's sort of a thriller. It's kind of a horror movie. But like
yeah, it's a little. It's more like horror action. I would say like or suspense, like yeah, it's not. I don't know. It's kind of in the middle, I guess.
Yeah, but it's like, I think what was interesting is like I was reading about it. I was like, there's only one person that speaks in the entire movie, and he's speaking in, it's either Portuguese or Spanish, and it's not subtitled. So I meant to look up like what he's actually saying, but he seems to get the gist of like, she was either part of this movement or part of this cult, or maybe this was done to her with like unconsensually or whatever. Like having her, like she's got like a scar where her larynx was, but like reading about the movie later, like I didn't pick this up initially, but then it sort of recontextualized the whole thing. Like it's like a horror, it's a thriller, it's a revenge movie. But like at the end of the movie, you're kind of like, they're saying she had maybe been part of this cult that kidnapped, like she wasn't just an innocent or whatever. She was a part of this cult that kidnapped her, and then sort of recontextualized the whole thing. It's super, I really liked it. It was super interesting. It's like,
yeah,
a solid, like I was telling you, it's a solid, like it's an 8+, but I'm probably going to rewatch it. And then it might end up being like,
I still feel like even the ending leaves something to be desired.
They fumble the bag a little bit at the ending, but like the rest of it's like really interesting. And it's really ambitious to have a whole movie where no one speaks. And just everything has to be done through context. And I thought that was really cool. So there's that. So thank you. I cede my time.
I leave my time to the floor.
But I guess now I got to go talk some more, because now we got to talk about The Great White Hype.
Yes.
Yeah.
What happened in this movie?
Man, what doesn't happen in this movie? Movie opens with a boxing match that I would love to actually witness. Like, it's Damon Wayans and this other guy, and they are just slugging it out. Like, movie boxing matches are the best.
We've talked about this in, I think, when we reviewed like a Rocky or something, but like, if boxing matches were really like they are in movies, people would just be dead left and right, because people are just taking shot after shot. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Can we briefly discuss James the Grim Reaper's Roper's record of 38 wins with 38 coming via knockout? That's insane.
Yeah.
He is a monster. He is like a real, he's a real,
also he's very good in this movie, in a very like not Damon Wayans ish performance.
No, in a very kind of subdued kind of way. Last Boy Scout.
There's a little Tyson in his performance.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it comes and goes, right? Because like that first interview, so he beats this guy up, and he's in the ring. He's like, yo, I really expected it. You know, I'm a little disappointed because I wanted to finish him with a right hand, and he went down with a left. And he's like doing a Tyson thing. I was like, I don't remember. And I've seen this movie before. I was like, I don't remember him doing Tyson the whole time. It goes away.
Which, champ, you really, it matters to you if you use your left or right? Yeah, it's like I got done painting the Mona Lisa and realized I forgot to put the breasts on. It's like, I don't know why that made me laugh so hard every fucking time. I always forget it.
I don't know why. It reminded me of that Dredrick Tatum quote where he's like, I will make orphans of his children. I believe they have a mother, champ.
Yes, I understand. Grief. And that makes the heavyweight champ in the world, and that means everywhere, not just the United States.
So he beats this guy. He's defended the heavyweight title again. His manager is a Don King / every like big tent preacher analog, played by Samuel Jackson, just like absolutely destroying it in this movie. Like, he's so good, is it Frank Sultan? No, it's Fred Sultan, and he's got like the bravado,
he's wearing a schemes when he's 10.
Yeah, he's just a scumbag, and he's just using this guy. So anyway, you find out like after,
also real
after
quick I'm fight, sorry yeah, I do appreciate yeah. this they do this in a lot of boxing movies, though, is they use the actual like HBO fight cameras, so when they're doing the ringside footage it looks like an actual boxing match.
Yeah, it's like a real fight. So it's afterwards, everybody's celebrating, it's gonna be the big payday for James the Grim Reaper Roper, and you find out so the entourage of Samuel Jackson is John Lovitz as his publicist, Corbin Burnson as the owner of the MGM Grand.
Yeah.
Very good. Everybody's bringing like way too much to this movie, I think.
Yeah.
I love the movie, but everybody's like really going for it.
Yeah, they went hard. Rocky Carroll from Rock fame.
That's who that was. I couldn't. Yeah. I was like, where do I know that guy from? I was like, he looks so fucking familiar. Yeah, Rock. He was Rock's brother, right?
Yeah, he plays the uptight black guy in a lot of stuff.
He's the lawyer in this. He's great.
We've had people look over the contract, 10 of them. Nobody understands any of it.
It's indecipherable. Cheech Marin as the commissioner of the IBC.
God, this movie fucking rules.
So this whole thing's going on, right? And they're like, listen, the take, attendance is down. The gate was down. Pay-per-view is down 50%. It was down 75% from the last one. Like, people don't care anymore. Also, Jeff Goldblum and his documentary crew are there trying to take down Fred Sultan for the scumbag that he is. And so he's got like his documentary crew. It's all just like white liberal arts kids just like lurking around a boxing ring.
And I feel like Goggs might be the only other person to see this movie, because Method Man is also in this movie that I'm thinking of. There was a movie called Black and White where Robert Downey Jr. and I forget some lady are making a documentary about something nefarious, and like Robert Downey Jr. kisses Mike Tyson on the lips. Does anybody remember that?
No, I've not seen that. But
sounds like a fever dream.
It sounds like Sean's just reading his dream journal.
No, he would have been sucking his dick if it was mine. Much tamer.
Ayo. But yeah, Method Man is in this movie as Method Man, which I love. So anyway.
A cameo by Brian Setzer also later in this film.
That's who that was.
Yeah. The fucking the musical appearances in this movie are wild. It was like Brian Setzer.
He didn't have his orchestra though.
That is true. It was his stray cats.
That was too expensive.
So Roper's not gonna get paid like he wants to get paid, so they gotta come up with something. So they give him another two Rolls Royces. And he's got his whole crew is.
He already has eight Rolls Royces. He's paying people like Suge Knight used to pay people, where he would just give them cars instead of what they're actually owed.
Yeah, so he's out here getting it.
A Merlot Broham.
A Merlot.
Still drawing that Merlot Broham has lived rent free in my head for 20 years. Also,
can someone? I'm probably just being too white. I don't understand the Broham part.
It's a trim level. I don't think it was just Cadillac. I think that Oldsmobile, it was like a fancy trim level of General Motors cars.
I didn't know what that meant. Yeah, it was spelled like Brougham.
Braugham.
Yeah,
Brougham. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not get the joke. I was like, what is that?
Still driving that maroon Brougham?
It's
Merlot. Okay,
right. So then you got this other boxer, Shabazz, that wants to get he's the number one contender. He gets claimed that he's being ducked. He is being managed by Jamie Foxx, who is also great in this movie. Anyway, so they're like, look, how are we going to get butts in seats? And you know what? Racism. So no one cares about.
That is the correct answer, by the way.
Yeah. No one cares about two black dudes beating each other up. We need to get a white heavyweight contender to fight Damon Wayans' character. And so they go through this whole bit where Cheech Marin had brought all of the white options on VHS tape, and we get to watch them get
the jacked
up, kicked out of them for about.
I do love the fact though that like Samuel Jackson is like kind of profiling him. He's like, oh, I could sell this guy. He's like a Tarzan guy, or like,
no, he's like the first guy's like
clean cut American guy.
Oh, he's kind of swarthy.
One of the guys is Tommy Morrison, who died of AIDS while claiming he did not have AIDS the entire time.
Also, star of
the worst Rocky movie.
Tommy
Morrison, when they said in this movie he was like John Wayne's nephew, he was actually like the grandson.
Yeah, I hope somebody got fired for that blunder. Yeah, I think he was his grandson.
He was like, related to him somehow.
He was a piece of shit for real.
John Wayne changed his name from Morrison to Wayne.
I didn't know that.
To seem cool.
Did you know John Wayne's real name is Marion? That's actually
I did know that.
You know, John Wayne was a horrible racist who tried to beat up Native American women just for having the audacity of not wanting to be killed.
Yeah. And he was married to a Mexican woman, question mark. I feel like I'm not making that up.
There's plenty of Sean, you're on the internet. There's plenty of racists that have like non-white wives. It's like a tradition. Oh, yeah.
They're called my parents. I'm kidding.
Oh.
I love you, Dad. You're not a racist.
Does your dad listen to the show?
No.
Oh,
okay. No, I would tell him that we do a podcast, but I don't want to be accused of being gay again. I think I've beat those allegations already.
Definitely not of definitely if he listens on Apple, because ours aren't loading on Apple anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I don't know.
We got to go back and find all the lost episodes at some point.
I'm trying to fix it, but I don't know. There's something wrong. I think it doesn't matter. This isn't interesting on the show. I'm working on it. I'll put it either that way.
Interesting to me.
Cheech Marin's sister, question mark, is the one that discovers the
it's his new plot assistant. Relevant point. That woman is so fucking attractive. She's very attractive. Like, I thought it was Pam Grier for 5 seconds.
The mid-90s were the peak time for Japanese car design and Latin women. Like, I don't know what it was, but like, give me like a 94 Civic Si and a Maria Conchita Alonso. You know what I'm saying?
Just a Skyline GTR and Rosie Perez, just all
right
day.
All day.
So she, the Cheech Marin's assistant, is like, listen, guys, here's the deal. Here's the deal. There's only one person that's beaten the Grim Reaper, ever. And as an amateur,
she's like, well, his record, he's never lost a professional, right? What gave you the first clue? His record, you dumb bitch, shut up.
We gave away his record. Yeah, that was a money line. And she's like, look, there's this guy, Terry Conklin, beat him as an amateur. He's still out there doing his thing. He's part of a metal question mark band called Massive Head Wound out of Cleveland.
I had a fucking like heart attack, and I had to text Sean. So they introduce this band, right? They play the beginning of the ICP song Chicken Hunting.
TJ and I are obsessed with the song for some reason. And I was like, holy shit.
Well, at first I thought that maybe this is where ICP sampled it, but Sean's right. Like later on, you could hear the whole song being played.
I thought for a second, like I was like, "There's no way that's ICP. It's got to be like Helmet and House of Pain." I thought it was.
No, it is.
Is it Just Another Victim? Gogs? Is that the song from Judgment Night with Helmet and House of Pain?
Yeah, I believe so.
Also, shocking that House of Pain is not on this soundtrack.
Yeah.
Because he's Irish, right? He should have been.
White.
This means you're just code for your white.
That fucking line killed me. That is such a funny.
But I'm Irish Terry Conklin. So they find him, and like he is like in the middle. He's being this is being pitched to him as like Return to Fistiana. You can get $10 million to annihilate homelessness.
Really kind of a clever little thing to be like, oh yeah, well, what about amateurs? Like that's a pretty smart screenwriting drop, I thought.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was
because
good.
It is some shit that they would do in real life. It's like they'd dig up something and gin him up. Like, yeah, he's the number 8 contender. Who cares?
Oh yeah. Boxing is like the most corrupt of all the sports next to soccer. FIFA.
Yes.
Specifically.
Possibly NFL Chiefs games, but that's
also true.
He's being pitched this as he is being sucked off.
Yeah, he's being like mid fellatio. They're like, and like he goes through. There's like it's not Anthony Kiedis, but it's someone Anthony Kiedis adjacent is like bringing girls backstage.
He's getting like, blown by destiny. Well, these girls are of age, so it's not Anthony Kiedis.
Hey, so they're like, listen, you can. He's like, I don't care about the money, man. I just care about doing right by Cleveland.
I'm a rock and roller.
And fighting homelessness.
He wants to eradicate homelessness.
Like you can personally eradicate homelessness with $10 million
in the world,
dollars.
And also here in America.
And he's such like a dumb dumb. And they gas him up.
It's a shame he went crazy and all he makes is like Boston racist movies now, because he's really fun in this movie.
He's so good.
He's a lot of fun.
This and he's in one of my favorites. He's Pistol Pete Meeks in Smoking Aces. He's in that movie for 20 seconds before he gets killed by Chris Pine.
Didn't he direct Smoking Aces?
No, that was Bill Carnahan. How dare you?
Oh, sure.
Oh, so So they get like, listen, come on back. You can take the champ. You're gonna be, you know, let's give it a run. So they get, like, they're saying, they gas dude up. They give him to Gimli, and they're like, yeah, you can go. You train. We'll get you. You got 60 days to go get and fight.
Just make him look presentable. Like, nobody. The important thing I think to note is that nobody's under any illusion that he will win this fight.
Right. They're gonna be. They're just like, look. We just gotta get a white body in the ring for him to fight to get the tickets up. Meanwhile, Damon Wayans is just like, just living his best life. Just like eating ice cream and just laying about. Like, I don't have a care in the world. Like, whatever. Nothing's gonna. This kid can't touch me. And then, so for a little bit. So then it's training scenes. It's this guy starting. It's Terry Conklin believing his own hype. Meanwhile, you've got the Grandmaster is over here trying to take down Fred Sultan, and then he gets like seduced into becoming the new publicist because everyone else thinks that because Cheech Marin is corrupt and being used by Sultan.
Another great thing, they're out there and like, oh, you're anti-Semitic. It's like, I can't be anti-Semitic, I'm Jewish. Well, then you're Uncle Tom.
Jews can be
Uncle Tom's. Sure we can.
No, we can.
John Lovitz, self-loathing, fantastic, like always. I mean, it's so good.
Yeah. So then he gets John Lovitz. So now Jeff Goldblum has John Lovitz's job. He is doing excellent work as just being like, just basically a carnival barker, and like he gets like he does like a Miracle on 34th Street, brings all these letters in from all these people that are excited about Terry, just. Reads this blank piece of paper about Timmy in a wheelchair.
But the funny thing is they put a wheelchair plant in the audience, or it's just a magical happenstance that kid does show up.
It was, it's fucking brilliant.
What's in the audience? So pictures of nothing, Saul.
So they're hyping dude up. He's training. He's looking good. He starts thinking he can, Peter Berg always thinks he can win. Everybody think like Damon
Jonathan Rhys Meyers is super racist. Oh, like for real, and in the movie,
right? Yes, and like he's like constantly saying racist things to Peter Berg, and Peter Berg's like, "Stop it!" What's his name? Jamie, Jeff, whatever his name is. Like, yeah. I'm ignoring your racism, Jesse. We're doing this for the homeless. and so we've hit.
I know they said they're for white men, but you're Irish, and that's close enough. He's like, I'm not even Irish.
But you're white.
Yeah, fucking where he goes to Mitchell is Jeff Goldblum, and he's like, "Do you covet racism?" He's like, "Do I covet racism?" Like, I don't know. That shit still makes me laugh.
Yeah, the guy, he's just sort of a dum dum, and it's lovely. He's kind of like an Andy Dwyer, but a little more like a little rougher around the edges, I guess. Yeah. Maybe.
I've never been to a place where women are treated more poorly. It's disgusting. Isn't that, you want the cover of Playboy? Well, I didn't want to do it, and that's not what I'm about.
So now, the day of the fight comes, and we're like, all right, oh, Jeff Goldblum start, like, so, I'm sorry, the critic got ousted, right? He lost his job. So he pulls Goldblum aside and says, listen, Sultan's going down, you know, he's ripe for a fall. You, someone needs to take his place. And he gets, you know, he Grima worm tongues his way into being like, listen, you should take a shot at the king. There's one thing you've learned. If you take a shot at the king, you best not miss. So he decides that he's going to sign Irish Terry Conklin.
Oh, I think before this, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I know.
No, go ahead. Time.
But Marvin Shabazz shows up at the weigh-in, I believe.
Yes.
And starts a fucking, this is the letter reading scene, and Terry Conklin knocks him out with one punch, and then all the odds go ape shit.
Yeah, everybody loses their mind because they're like, oh,
which
shit.
Which is also like a fun trick for the audience. So I saw this when I was like 15 or whatever. I'm like, oh, maybe he does win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, because like Damon Wayans is like out of shape and not taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Round shape.
I'm round.
I thought they were going to say that Samuel L. Jackson paid him to take that punch, but then that never came out. Like he,
nope. So now, Conklin's got all the hype in the world thanks to racism. You've got people really thinking he can do it. You got him thinking he can do it. Everyone thinks he can do it except Damon Wayans. And then there's a really interesting scene where, like, in the midst of all this hype nonsense, they catch Damon Wayans, like, at, like, a diner. And they're like, you know what? The guy says he's going to fight for charity and do all this. Like, you give to lots of charitable causes and you never bring it up. And the guy just basically tells him to get out of his face. So you're kind of like, Damon Wayans' character is actually kind of a good dude.
Right.
Like,
They're like, yeah, they listen. They're like, you donate to AIDS research and you donate to, I can't remember what else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's another thing trying to make the point of, like, the black athlete gets cast a certain kind of way. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's, I mean, it's not subtle in the rest of the movie.
No, that's a good point.
Also, I shout out to this movie because they stopped to watch Dolomite for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which I fucking loved.
Yeah, so then, like, it's the night of the big fight, and Conklin comes out to, I forget what he comes out to.
Danny
he comes
Boy.
Out, to Danny Boy by Brian Setzer. Brian Setzer. And
well, he's literally got, like, the worst sentence ever spoken by a human.
And, he comes out and it's all this fanfare and everybody's cheering. And meanwhile, Damon Wayans is back there watching Dolomite as part of his pre-fight ritual. They get out into the, they get out in the ring. It's time to go down. Jeff Goldblum sort of reveals that, like, listen, when this guy beats him, when this guy beats Roper, I'm going to, you know, I'm in charge of him now. You're out. I'm in. That sort of thing.
And Method Man, I think you mentioned earlier, walks Damon Wayans down to bring the pain and performs basically the entire song, which I appreciate.
And that shit was awesome. That shit was cool. That was very cool.
Run it back. During one of the press conferences, Damon Wayans just over it. He's like, you can just kiss my black ass. Like, just leave me. Like, you know, you people don't appreciate me. Fuck you. Like, we're past all this. They get in, they start boxing. I think one of the things they tell him is just don't make him mad. He's like, I'm not worried about it. I'm gonna, what did he say? He's gonna kiss the donkey. He kept saying that.
Like, make him kiss the donkey, ref.
Yeah, and it was,
he's scared of me.
He's scared of me. Then the fight happens, and Conklin's kind of hanging with, and he gets some blows in, and he rings his bell for a second, and you're like, oh, this could be it. And then that's not it.
It's immediately over.
Yeah. Well, he hits him with that overhand right, and Wayans stumbles back, and he goes, you trying to embarrass me on TV?
And then he just beats his ass.
It is funny the way they shoot it, because it's like, it, you know, it looks like this back and forth fight, and they're like, after 27 seconds of 27 the first seconds, round.
Yeah, it was very brief. And so then he wins. Conklin's out. Presumably he goes back to Cleveland. Fred Sultan, who is the bad guy in this movie, wins. Damon Wayans gets paid because the ticket sales are through the roof, the pay-per-views through the roof, and then, like, in the ring, Shabazz comes and challenges him. They start throwing bare hands at each other, and then Grim Reaper Roper gets knocked out by Shabazz, and Sultan's like, there's a preview of the next fight, and the guy can't lose. Like, you can't get the stink off. Just this like real guy. Life. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
We just got to get all our ducks in a row. What the fuck is all the duck shit?
What's all the duck shit? We got guns with lasers on.
Jamie Foxx brings like a RoboCop level gun to the fucking arena with him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Jamie Foxx is really good in this. And you know how I feel about Jamie Foxx in most things. But I love him. Great. I can't stand him, but he's very good in this. I thought he was great.
He really was. But that's it. That's the movie. It's a ton of fun. Like Sean said, like, Merlo Broham has lived in my head rent free for longer than I would care to admit.
I remember the fucking B.I. Itch line. What's a B.I.H.? Oh, it's biatch. Like, biatch. I remember that shit. I don't know why I remember that shit so well. I don't even think I think this is the first time I've watched this movie, to be perfectly honest, but that must have been in the trailer or something.
It was.
I remember that shit, like, to this day.
He's ducking me like a B.I.H. B.I.H. It's biatch. Banger. Loved it. Happy to be a part of it. solid choice.
You couldn't make this movie anymore because you got that one big white guy that was like the best boxer in the world for a little while. Tyson Fury, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a white heavyweight. That's like that's the same Black Unity. Is that what he said? Was that the joke he made?
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
I mean, they were just joning on.
I'm not qualified to laugh at that joke.
No, but you can't. I mean, so we were talking about this before the show started. Could you make this movie again?
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you think? Because it's not a movie. The comedy isn't derived from the racism. It's about the comedy is about like about the racism.
The reaction ridiculous. To the racism. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you could make this movie now. In fact, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Sean said, there's like that point where like that you're talking about Damon Wayans and how Black athletes are portrayed in the media. I feel like that's more like
people
are more aware of that shit nowadays than they ever were. I mean, it's that bit from The League, right? Where they're like the keywords like so well read and student of the game.
Terry Conklin's a real lunch pail guy. He's a real Lad McConkey.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like people are much more aware of that shit now. I mean, it still happens. It's not like it's gone away, but I feel like people are definitely more open to it.
I mean, look at Lamar Jackson and fucking Josh Allen, who are basically the same guy. Now. I mean, you know, Jackson might be a bit more accurate than Allen, but it's still like, you know, well, that's a quarterback and that's a run. I mean, come on. I love both of those dudes, but like the dialogue around them is fucking ridiculous.
It's insane every fucking year. Like Lamar Jackson does nothing but put up fucking numbers and people still want to.
Yeah. Going into the game the other day and 30 touchdowns and like two picks and both of the picks were bounced off a receiver's hands. Like he's leading the league in fucking everything.
It's fucking absurd. But that's the world we live in. All right. Anything else we can talk about before we get to Five Knuckle Shuffles? I am very hungry.
Yeah.
Should we ask Alec what was his favorite part?
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry.
Yeah, do your part. Do your thing.
Hold on. Alec, was your favorite part of this movie the appearance of a classic big screen TV? Because I do fondly remember those things.
Oh, there was that projection, the rear projection.
Big, nice big screen TV.
We had one.
I know. It was awesome. At the
Columbia House.
Yes, like
90 inch or whatever.
It was fucking ridiculous.
Gigantic.
It was awesome.
I watched Frisky Dingo on that TV.
Oh, I'm sure.
If I remember correctly, you just left it there because it was too big.
It was too heavy. Yeah, it was heavy like
600 pounds.
I lived on a third floor walk up in Glen Burnie and left a fucking 50 inch CRT TV there because like I'm carrying this bitch back down the stairs. Yeah, like no, you remember those TVs had like nowhere to grab?
No, yeah, they're just sharp. Like, they're all just razor sharp edges.
It was awful. It was fucking terrible. Was that your favorite part of the movie, though?
My favorite part was the subtlety.
It wasn't very subtle. It was not very subtle.
Very, very off the nose.
The very nuanced.
Off the nose is bonkers. We got to start using that more often.
This movie is not the dealing in subtlety whatsoever. All right, Five Knuckle Shuffle time. Well, the opinion I'm most interested to hear, Alec.
I'm gonna give it 6. I don't know. Like it was fine. I don't know. It just didn't quite do it for me. Like I love a lot of boxing movies. Just like the performances were all good. I don't know, there was just something missing for me. And I'd remember parts of this movie. Like I've definitely seen at least parts of this before, like probably on HBO or something when I was like 15 years old.
Is it too fast? Is it like there's no actual character development? Or like not enough boxing, or can you put your finger on it?
Maybe it's just not enough boxing. I want more boxing in my boxing movies.
Yeah,
like give me a boxing movie like
Dig's. It's okay when
like,
you say it.
Or it's like all boxing.
No, it's still not.
Yeah, there's just like there's. I can see why everybody would like people would like this movie a lot. It was missing something for me that I can't quite put my finger on. But Peter Berg, like,
oh, he's so
I remember it being Kevin Dillon.
They're very similar.
They're very similar.
Very similar looking.
And then I looked up Peter Berg's IMDb, and I'm like, oh, this guy's directed a fuckload of movies that I like.
Yeah, like Battleship. Like
Battleship.
And a fuckload of movies I don't like. But he directed The Rundown.
Yeah, Gods and I were discussing that before the show started. We're like,
very,
shit.
Like very bad things.
Boston Strong, very bad things rules.
Yeah, he directed like pretty much all those Marky Mark, like Patriot type movies.
We gotta do the big hit one day. I fucking love that movie. Or I did. So
Lone Survivor, Deepwater Horizon, Patriot's Day, Mile 22, Marky Mark super American movies.
Well, I was telling Gogs, I think he and Marky Mark are like buddies, and I think one of the characters in Entourage is loosely based on Peter Berg. I remember reading
probably Kevin Dillon's character.
Kevin Dillon.
Yeah.
They look exactly the same. But yeah, it's a six. It was fast. Like I'm happy about that. It was, I think, under an hour 30, like an hour 26 or something like that.
There's not any fat on this movie.
Shout out to Gus Frerotte.
He directed Hancock. That's actually a point less.
That sucked.
The movie's so bad.
The original pitch for that movie is actually not bad though.
Yeah, I agree.
Sean.
It's a 9 for me. I fucking love this movie. I always have. People hated this movie when it came out, and I think it's because they didn't want to admit that racism was real. Like, I think it's one of those things. Like, the only time white film critics can, like, recognize racism is if it's in, like, Crash, the bad one.
Right.
Where, like, racism still kind of saves the day at the end. Like, the racist cop is still good. But, like, I think it was Goggs that said, like, the bad guy wins in this movie, which is, you know, a tough sell for a comedy. Mm-hmm. But like, if you have any kind of like passing familiarity with boxing, like it works really well. I think it's super fast. I mean, it's over in a second. I'm like, I don't think it doesn't need to be anything more than what it is, you know, like it's just telling this broad story about racism and boxing and how corrupt it is. And they nailed it. And it's fucking funny. Merlo Brohan, still funny. Going to be funny when I'm fucking 50. Which I guess isn't that far now. I should pick up longer.
6 years away. Time now.
Yeah, it's still gonna be funny in 6 years. No, I love. What the fuck is all this duck shit? Like, I adore this movie. Also one of the first movies I had on DVD, like in that era, like this, right. Like the Talented Mr. Ripley. I don't know because I'm like boxing and I'm gay. Question mark.
What a double feature.
Yeah. That's a good movie, though. It's a good movie, though. Dogs.
This is a 9 for me. I fucking love... I forgot. I was texting Sean. I forgot how much I love this movie. Like, Merlo Brohan. When they were talking about the car, I was like, is that what this is from? And then as soon as they said it, I was like... Actually, it was in the opening sequence when the Brohan is driving through the desert. I'm like... This isn't the one with Merlo Brohan, is it?
The movie, we didn't touch on it, but the movie opens with like two scorpions fucking, I think.
Yeah, in the desert. Samuel Jackson is like doing something special
Is that a reference to that old like parable where it's like the scorpion riding across the back and it's like, oh, you stabbed me. It's like, well, I'm still a scorpion. Like, is that what I meant to take from that?
I mean, no, maybe. I think
it's just two scorpions in the desert.
Okay, sometimes Freud said sometimes it's just scorpions fucking in the desert.
I'm not reading too deep into what that meant.
But it is funny that like all the black dudes immediately know what the Merlo Brohan is, and Jeff Goldblum has to be like, what? A Brahm.
A Brahm.
No, it was Brohan, a Cadillac.
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's a ton of fun. I loved it. I will continue to love it. It's one of those movies, like I'm saying, I probably haven't watched in decades. I'm going to... This is one of those movies, like I think I've talked about before, like this is one of those movies I would get for like 12 at a time out of the Carroll County Public Library. That was my first viewing of this movie, was on VHS that way, because I like the cover seemed bananas, and it's just Samuel Jackson's smiling face, and I'm a huge Sam Jackson mark. I love it. This movie's a ton of fun. And it's there and gone instantly. And TJ was saying before, and I think this is a great way. It's very low stakes. You're just like, you can just enjoy it for what it is. And yeah, like, and the bad guy wins, which is wild. Big fan, TJ.
It's an 8 for me, dog. I really enjoyed this movie. There's something magical about this era of like black comedies in the 90s. I don't know. Like, I like so many of these movies, like, and it just reminds me of a simpler time. And yeah, like,
well, it's also just, like, yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm a terrible person and I don't want things to end. It's in the era where like black filmmakers got to make like regular movies that weren't strictly blaxploitation movies. You know what I mean? Like they got to kind of tell their own story and it isn't framed as like a white person telling a black story.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very black movie.
I completely agree. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just nice to see. And I you know, we always talk about like, guys, like, you asked earlier, you asked earlier if this movie could be made nowadays, and you know the reason why it couldn't be made nowadays, because they don't make like these fucking small scale movies anymore. That's the real reason. Like, you don't really see shit like this a lot, and I mean, I kind of miss these kind of just kind of simple comedies. That's, you know what I mean, it's got something to say, but it's also not about like the multiverse, you know what I mean?
Right. Like, and it's not like so
multiverse.
Oh, shit.
It's not so over the top like The Hangover and what comedies became.
Yeah, it's not slapstick or it's funny, but it has something to say.
It's a grown up movie for adults.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I really liked it. I think the cast is amazing. I thought everybody was really good in it. Yeah, it's just a really fun movie, and I'm glad we watched it. I really enjoyed it. So yeah, it's an 8 for me, dog.
It was loosely inspired by Larry Holmes' 1982 fight with Jerry Cooney.
Which I think they bring up in the movie?
They mention it, yeah.
Yeah.
Larry Holmes is a guy that was going to break Rocky Marciano's record and lost a very controversial decision at 49-0, which everybody knew was bullshit, but it was, you know, speculated that the judges did it for racism, and which Larry Holmes famously said, Rocky Marciano couldn't carry my jock strap, which he was correct, because he would have beat the fuck out of Rocky Marciano.
That's a fucking awesome quote.
Yeah.
All right. I have a pick unless somebody else has a,
I mean, I've got one tentative.
Okay.
Have we ever done The Fighter, or do we just talk about it all the time? Cause I feel like we've talked about it a billion times.
I don't think we've ever watched it on the show.
But you just had a pick. Didn't you just pick who picked this? I thought Sean
Dogs. I picked this.
I was going to pick Tokyo Fist.
I was going to pick Undisputed. The Ving Rhames, Wesley Snipes,
prison the original. Boxing movie. I'm down.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah,
I mean, I'd love to watch
George the Iceman Chambers.
Yeah, I'd love to watch Tokyo Fist, but I'm dying to see how that would go over. yeah, let's watch Undisputed.
Because
we need more Wesley Snipes. You know what I mean?
So that'll be three Undisputed movies we've done.
Oh yeah, that's right. We watched like the later ones. I forgot all about that.
Well, aren't all the Boyka movies are not Undisputed. That's the Undisputed verse.
Yeah. It's a spin-off. It's a spin-off of Undisputed.
What, Undisputed 2 is the first Boyka movie with Michael Jai White, correct? Or no? Yeah. Is that 3?
I think it's 2.
2. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's the show, everybody. You know the drill. Eat your own ass. And, you know, if you're thinking about getting something, somebody for Christmas, and you can't figure out what that'll be, give them their own ass.
Oh.
How about that?
Give them something to eat.
All right. All right, boys.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Good night, fellas.